You are listening to the Next Best Picture podcast, and this is Nicole Ackman's interview with the costume designer for The United States versus Billie Holiday, Paolo Niedu.
Don't you know who this is? She was thinking of something more special.
I'm downright flashy, you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Billie Holiday.
Reporters keep asking me, Billie, why you do the things you do? This is what I tell them.
We
love you.
The NAACP says Billie Holiday is the voice of our people.
I think we should integrate the audience for this show. Let's change it up a little bit. You know, blacks and whites sitting together.
You know what you're getting yourself into when you decide to come on the road.
Get out my goddamn clothes.
I'm gonna take everything except your bra and your man.
Which one of my songs is your favorite song?
Strange Fruit.
It's a song about important things, you know. Things that are going on in the country.
This holiday woman's causing a lot of people to think the wrong things.
The starting gun for this so-called civil rights movement.
Those lyrics provoke people.
Y'all got a plan?
She's a drug addict.
Exactly. I cut strange fruit.
I want to sing the damn song.
It's for your own good, okay?
I sing it the fuck I want.
Get her off that stage.
They're strange fruit. They won't let me sing nowhere. No clubs, no money, no nothing. You gotta understand, baby, right now I'm in a situation.
Look, you said we could beat this, Billy.
I need some now. Blood on the leaves.
You're like a hammer. Come right back and it hit harder than before.
He's singing it for all of us. Ain't no other Negro star bold enough to do it.
Black body swinging.
I'm being followed.
I'm not gonna cower to no feds. In the southern breeze.
She's made something of herself and you can't take it because she's strong, beautiful, and black.
Strange fruit hanging from the poplar trees.
You think I'm gonna stop singing that song? You grandkids will be singing Strange Fruit.
Welcome everyone to the Next Best Picture podcast. Today, I'm talking to Paolo Niedu, the costume designer for the upcoming film, The United States versus Billie Holiday. Thank you so much for chatting with me today, Paolo.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So I know that you've worked previously on television shows like Empire. What's different about designing for a film versus a TV show?
I think the biggest difference in designing for a film is you have the full scope of the story in front of you when you begin. So that's an immense help. Whereas in television, you know, you're working kind of script to script. They're kind of being written and fed to you, you know, every sort of 2 weeks. You're kind of getting a, you know, kind of what's coming, but you don't know who's cast and where the location's going to be. And in a film, you have a bigger sense of the scope.
That totally makes sense.
When you set out to do your work.
And I believe a lot of your previous work was also sort of contemporary costumes. So what was it like designing costumes for a period film?
Oh my God, it was a challenge. That was the first time I've done period. I mean, I love the era and I'm a big like old movie fan and old Hollywood costume designers and sort of just I'm so familiar in that aesthetic, just in different genres. But going out, you know, setting out to do it, it's a complete different approach to the process because, you know, you don't just walk into a store and there it is.
What sort of research did you do on, you know, the era and on Billie Holiday to prep to do the design for this?
A mix of everything. First and foremost, it was like as many images that I could find of her. I gathered like this binder and just was printing out as many photos from Pinterest, like hashtags, you know, Googling Library of Congress. And then it bled into like ordering vintage magazines on eBay if I could find like articles about her. And then I read, of course, you know, Lady Sings the Blues, her autobiography. And a lot of times I would, when I would look through photos too, I would often put on her music too, just to sort of get, you know, just kind of go into this little zone of like looking at her image and like hearing her voice, which really helped.
That's awesome. So obviously her fashion, you know, it was quite popular and is kind of iconic. Did you try to sort of closely recreate some of her looks, or were you trying to take more liberties and kind of combine different looks of hers?
It was kind of a little bit of all of that. Yeah. I mean, there were definitely certain themes that we matched to, you know, real historic reference photos, like her in court. And there was a few court scenes. There was some other performances that were just some iconic dresses that I used as a basis to go, you know, to go forward with some of the gowns. Yeah. So it was kind of a mix, and I would look into like what kind of pieces she wore or how she wore, you know, what kind of necklines that did she gravitate towards. And, you know, if she wore things that were, you know, more body conscious or were full, and how she accessorized. And I sort of kind of took all those bits about a person and put them into, you know, the scene that we were doing. Or, you know, for example, when we had to kind of guess, like, what is Billie Holiday dressed like when she's not on stage? And that was where, you know, I got to take some liberty and use her stage persona to sort of interpret her offstage persona.
Also, you mentioned accessories. There's some gorgeous hats and hair pieces in this film too.
Yeah. No, those were inspired by, I mean, we have the famous, you know, she's famous for wearing the gardenia in her hair. And she also wore like orchids in her hair. And actually, where we were in Montreal filming and during the time of year, it was impossible for us to get fresh gardenias. They were not in season. We couldn't get them shipped in time. It was like really difficult to bring them in like through customs and, you know, having real ones. So I was able to find some synthetic ones that were really great, and we used in the Carnegie Hall. And then there were times where we used fresh orchids that were local. And there was an amazing feather flower that she wears in the film that I actually had recreated based on a publicity photo of her that I loved, and Western Costume created it out of feathers. Sort of looks like a giant flower, but it's feathers. It's really cool.
That's so cool. I also read that you ended up working with the House of Prada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we collaborated on 9 looks for the film that I basically was introduced to them through Lee, through his relationship with Miss Prada and the team over there. And they were so amazing. Like, we were able to go into their archives and sort of look at pieces. And I'd put together imagery of Billie and the dress that I was looking to create. And then I would go in and find the Prada outfit or the Prada piece from their collection that kind of best lined up with the look that I was going for. And then together we sort of married the two and would say, hey, let's do this top from this collection and put it, can we make this a full length? And can you make it red? And we worked together to do it that way. It was really awesome.
That's so cool.
Hi, this is comedian and writer, and let's be honest, I do a lot of things. This is Dino Tripodis, the host of Whiskey Business, the podcast not so much about whiskey as it is one with whiskey. Yes, we drink and talk about whiskey, but we do so much more with so many interesting people. For example, we talk to comedians like Greg Warren.
You know, I don't want to brag, but let's just say I can walk into a Red Lobster and get whatever. You know, I think the pause right there is probably more important than the word.
Amazing athletes like boxing champion Buster Douglas.
When a fighter's down and he's looking for his mouthpiece instead of trying to get up.
That's when I knew it was over.
Yeah, right?
And yes, Bigfoot chasers. Do you believe in Bigfoot? And if so, does he really eat beef jerky?
The Bigfoot thing is people have seen these, and I've seen a lot of compelling evidence about it.
It's Whiskey Business with Dino Tripodis. Join us for what we call a good conversation with a good pour. You really can't ask for much more than that, can you, people? Check us out at WhiskeyBusinessPod.com, a proud member of the Evergreen Podcast Network.
I'm Ken Harbaugh, host of Burn the Boats from Evergreen Podcasts. I interview political leaders and influencers, folks like award-winning journalist Soledad O'Brien and conservative columnist Bill Kristol, about the choices they confront when failure is not an option. I won't agree with everyone I talk to, but I respect anyone who believes in something enough to risk everything for it. Because history belongs to those willing to burn the boats. Episodes are out every other week wherever you get your podcasts.
I think it's always interesting with period pieces from, you know, this sort of era, how I know a lot of designers will sort of mix sourcing vintage clothing with, you know, actually making new costumes from scratch. Did you do some of that on this film?
Yeah, it was definitely both. So it was like, you know, there were certain pieces that I would find a vintage dress that I'm like, I'm in love with this dress. And like, let's use this dress. It's great, you know. And then there would be the building of new pieces, you know, for Andra that would be for a specific song, or we needed a specific color. And we're, you know, we're going to, you know, Lee would want to do, you know, pink here, or it would need to have movement here, or, you know, one of the performances was like this very like casual sort of like fun, really like the opposite of the more cafe society, you know, more proper performances. And so, you know, I would make new things and I would use vintage pieces as the inspiration for sure. You know, there was a lot of pulling out pieces that I loved that were like, you know, you couldn't use because they're too old and they're falling apart and you need it to have stamina. So I would use those to sort of recreate a new life.
That's amazing. I also was curious, you know, with a character like Billie Holiday, who mm-hmm. has all these very iconic looks and who definitely stands out, how do you design clothes for all the other characters around her that still look so nice, but make sure that she's the one who's standing out?
Right. That is the challenge. I mean, when there were scenes with a lot of men, so that was helpful to have them in their suits. And, you know, you'd have Jimmy Fletcher, played by Trevante Rhodes. And, you know, I used a lot of like grays and blues with him. And, you know, that always played off against her glamour. And then Miss Freddie in her life, and Rosalind, that was like her hair and makeup and also her really close friends. You just have to kind of find the balance of color, and yeah, you want those people to look their best selves too, but yeah, you always have to sort of make sure that, you know, the person in the center of the frame, or that, you know, you got to make sure she was the star in real life. So there's always sort of that. You're not going to have your hairstylist trying to outshine you. So we definitely had to like toe the line.
Absolutely.
But still keeping, and the one good thing is that era, people dressed up and everybody always mm-hmm. looked so good. So that really lent itself as well to my benefit.
I also really loved the costumes on the character of Tallulah Bankhead, which obviously that's another public figure from the time. Did you also, you know, look at old photos of her and try and, you know, match her style as well?
Completely. I had this really great book that I had for a while ago, but it's called Tallulah, this coffee table book. And there were some really great photos of her. And we were doing her, it was 1940, like 48, I believe, in our story with her. So yeah, I looked into her at that time. And she did wear a lot of pants, like high-waisted, you know, full-cut pants and silk blouses. And she was kind of known for her three strands of pearls. And she's just a very, like, the inspo for her was just, like, a very chic, you know, uptown sort of New York kind of look was like, the vibe on her. And I did I found this really beautiful silk blouse in, where was it? I think it was at Western. And used that as a basis for this amazing, the outfit she wears in the jewelry store, I don't know, in the preview, mm-hmm. with black silk pants. She was very luxe. It was all about like her fur and her silk pants. she was one of my favorites to dress too. Was a fun character, fun real person to design for.
I think it's also, you know, you mentioned like the year specifically you were designing for her scenes, but one of the interesting things about the costumes in the film is that the film does span like, you know, several years. And I feel like at a time where fashion was changing quite rapidly. How did you try to sort of portray that, you know, passing of time in the costumes?
Yeah, because we were in 40, we kind of went like 47 to 49, and then we jump a little bit in the early 50s, and then we jump to the late 50s. So, I mean, with Billy specifically, like when we moved into the late 50s, it was more like she, like fuller gowns, and then it changed a lot with her hair as well. It was helpful. She wore a ponytail a lot in the 50s, so that lent itself to the look, because we were, yeah, going about 10 years. I'm trying to think, like with Roslyn, again, it lent itself to the hair because, you know, 49 to like 59, it's different, but it's not that, it doesn't go that, you know, extreme. So we were able to, you know, kind of rely on some hair changes for that, which were really good. But the late 40s were great because, you know, you're out of the war. So there's a lot of like, you know, people were going with, you know, more accessories, more fabric. We're kind of in the earlier 40s, it was a little bit pulled back, you know?
Yeah. Is there anything about designing for this era and doing a period piece like this that surprised you or that you think might surprise people seeing the movie?
You know, I guess I'll have to say, like, when you do go in to sort of pull and look for, like, things that really exist from the era, now you start to realize, like, how far along the late 40s really are. And you're, like, you know, you're pushing, like, nearly 80 years. So, you know, a lot of real clothes from that time, like, you know, they aren't that many, you know. And, you know, the sizes and the weight and people's bodies have changed so much from that time period too, especially like with things like shoes, for example. Like, I don't know what size shoe most women wore back then, but it was a real challenge to find like period shoes that, you know, would fit a contemporary woman's foot for all of the people. So, you know, there's all these kind of like little things like that sort of add up where you do have to build a lot to get this era, you know, on screen.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to end by asking, do you have a favorite look that you designed for the movie?
It's like, I say this all the time, like, it's like my favorite child. I think I love, I really did love, there's a white beaded costume that she gets arrested in when she goes to sing Strange Fruit. That's sort of, I really love how this outfit came to be. It was white beaded, bugle beaded fabric, which is popular at the time. And it was in these big panels and sort of in the fitting, I was kind of draping it and just like putting it on Andra and trying to decide like what we were going to do with it. And I had just sent a picture to Lee and he loved it as is. And it was literally like me behind her, like holding this up, like ducking behind the camera with like, the fabric was wrapped around her like a towel, like tucked into her underwear, basically. And it sort of turned into this like magical, dripping, sparkling glass, you know, dress that weighed 20 pounds. And it was in a really powerful scene. And it was a scene with a lot of action where she, you know, she gets rushed down this flight of stairs and just the way seeing it on screen and then going back to the process of, you know, its incubation period. It's one that I like recall fondly.
That's awesome. Well, it's a very powerful movie and the costumes are absolutely gorgeous. So
thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you so much for talking to me today. And to everyone listening, make sure to see The United States versus Billie Holiday and all these beautiful costumes whenever you can.
Thank you. Hulu, February 26th.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Paolo.
All right, thank you.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Nicole Ackman's interview with the costume designer for The United States versus Billie Holiday, Paulo Nieto, here on the Next Best Picture podcast. The United States versus Billie Holiday is currently streaming on Hulu and is up for your consideration in all Oscar categories, including Best Costume Design. You have been listening to the Next Best Picture podcast. We are proud to be part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, and you can subscribe to us anywhere where you subscribe to podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and let us know what you think of the show. We really appreciate your feedback and your support, which you can lend on over at Patreon. For $1 minimum a month, you will get some exclusive podcast content from us. Thank you so much for listening, as always, and we shall see you all next time.
Hello, this is Gary Chahot welcoming you to check out the French History Podcast. Our main show covers the history of France from the first humans until present. If you liked Mike Duncan's The History of Rome and wanted a similar program covering the land of beauty, culture, and love, we are exactly that. We also host world-renowned scholars who have delivered guest episodes on their specialties, including 18th century pirates, revolutionary booksellers in 20th century Paris, the special friendship between the Marquis de Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson, and numerous others. Learn what you love and listen to the French History Podcast today.